following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
If there's one thing you need to remember, it's that the men's store inside JCPenney is your one-stop Dockers headquarters during the JCPenney lowest prices of the season sale. Dockers signature khaki, $29.99, lowest price ever. Dockers gift sets and slippers, 50% off. Save on all Dockers belts, wallets, and socks. If it's Dockers you want, the men's store inside JCPenney is the smart place to get in, find it, and get going. New look, new day, who knew? JCPenney. Some exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/22.
When men get together, they relax over a cocktail and discuss the latest news from sports to pop culture. Now ESPN and Jim Beam have teamed up to bring this to life with the next round served up by Jim Beam featuring Scoop Jackson and guests. Just as friends talk sports and news over a cocktail at the local hangout, Scoop and guests do the same. The next round served up by Jim Beam. Check it out on ESPN.com. Search Jim Beam. Jim Beam, the bourbon, says 1795. Please remember to drink smart. Jim Beam, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Copyright 2010, James B. Beam Distilling Company, Claremont, Kentucky.
It's 11 o'clock.
It's time to play that real kick-ass open.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show with sports director Doug Duda.
Doug Duda with a sports update on ESPN.
Pick and roll, and Olmstead is wide open from Romy. And he's got him locked up, and he gets the pin. Michael Klingensmith gets past, knocked away by Ritschka. Jesse goes in for the layup, and it's up and in. And Ravenna's going to win state.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
It is now a new trophy. We have a new champion. A new champion is crowned.
Be big. I'll be big anyway. I don't know how much of a help I'll be.
This is so Apollo Creed and Rocky in the middle of the ring.
And now it's time for the best sports show in central Nebraska.
I wouldn't go that far, Mayor.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show.
You throw the ball, you catch the ball. You throw the ball, you catch the ball. You throw the ball, you catch the ball. Cody Green said on the show Thursday, you don't have to throw the ball if you could run it for 400 yards. Sean Watson said, yeah, they do that five-man front all the time. No surprise to us.
I don't know where you want me to go here.
Texas, Nebraska, we are with you on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we want to hear from you. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Already a stack of emails have flowed into the Dent Popper inbox, including H-Man from Riverdale. We will have all those emails. All you have to do is send it to the Dent Popper inbox, home of the Armor Lining. See him on the bricks downtown Kearney. The email address, Doug and Daddy. Spell out the word and, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Mitch Sherman's going to join us here in about 10 minutes to talk about the program, talk about the game. Tony, I think it's much more simple than Nebraska fans want it to be, and boy, there were a lot of wrecked fans emotionally more than some of the other, you know, fun stuff that we can make about this, but just wrecked fans because Nebraska, I will say it right now, Nebraska is a better football team than Texas. There is no way Nebraska should have lost that game. Nebraska couldn't have probably played any worse outside of the defense. I thought the defense did just fine. But I don't think, I mean, how many more things you talk about when we were growing up, when we were kids, when we were going into college, when I was going to college, when you were a kid, back in the 80s, Sooner Magic. Nebraska could never seem to beat Oklahoma because of Sooner Magic and some of the luck and some of the bounces and some of the calls. And, you know, you can break that all down, but it always seemed to go Oklahoma's way. Well, right now, that's what it is with the University of Texas. You come out and you fumble immediately and give them a chance to stick it in and go up 10-0. And it put undue pressure and it put undue stress on a football team that didn't need it. I think if you'd have just put 10-0 on the scoreboard at the start of the game, it would have been a much better situation. Even at 10-0, there shouldn't have been a panic mode, and it looked like there was a little bit of panic mode. And obviously things weren't working, and now some people are taking joy in this. I guess when they announced the score at the Michigan game, the Wisconsin game, people just went nuts. They loved it. They loved that Nebraska was getting beat, which I think is a topic for a whole show someday. You know what? You're going to get what you want, and you're going to get what you deserve in the Big Ten. And some people think that coming out of the Big 12 that the Big 12 has it in for Nebraska, and they're not going to get any calls, and everything's going to go against Nebraska from that standpoint. You got to catch the ball. Niles Paul said it. We catch the ball, we win it. And he was as big a factor in not winning this football game as anybody else. He did make some nice plays, but this team is not done. I mean, they haven't played anybody. They destroy Kansas State, so that looks good on national TV, and then they come back and just that's the problem. I don't think there's an answer. Nobody that I've been able to talk to can really put a wrap around this except to say, well, damn it, it's just Texas again. That's why I picked a fairly close game, a low-scoring game. I didn't have a good comment. I mean, yeah, I'm going to pat myself on the back. Would you like to pat? I mean, would you? No. Anyway.
What did you say for a score?
I said we would win a low-scoring game, 23-10. That's not the point. I was worried about this one. You weren't. Most of Nebraska wasn't, and that made me worry even more.
I was worried about it.
It's 35-10. You said 34-9. You said 34-9. Nebraska was favored by up to 12 points over Texas. Insane.
Yeah.
And this just proves why that is. Those are some of my thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Mitch Sherman going to join us. Tony, you were there. You watched the game. You were in the stadium. The stadium was raucous. And still, you look at the Wisconsin-Ohio State game, and it still seems like it's different. They're all going crazy, jumping up and down. A Nebraska fan made noise and did everything they could, it seemed like, in the Nebraska way. But it just, right now, for a long time, is not translating into victories. And again, did we come up with a signature win for Nebraska?
No, we haven't. No, we really haven't. And, yeah, Bo Pelini's still a relatively young coach, just in his third season here. Keith Moreland on Friday said that Garrett Gilbert had the strongest arm of any quarterback he has ever laid eyes on. Okay. That right there, when he said that, I thought, wow, uh-oh, that could be bad news, although I love our secondary. When you say that about a quarterback, I took a step back and said, oh, can this kid throw it on us? He was 4 of 16. He was 4 of 16. You give me that stat alone, I go out and say Nebraska wins this game by 24 points, don't you? He's 4 of 16. Now, maybe if Nebraska hit by that far, they obviously would have thrown the ball much more than 16 times. The kid was 4 of 16. You give him a short field, and you give him the fumble. You know, the turnover deal was the only thing I thought, the only way we could get beat, the only freaking way I thought we could get beat, was to turn the ball over, and Halu puts it on the carpet right away, and then the short fields. Anytime you put your defense on its heels, they never did get a chance to settle in. They were on their heels the whole first quarter. And then you found themselves in that hole. And then you were just, uh-oh, here we go. It's going to be like that till the end. You want to blame Sean Watson? Go ahead. Call the Bruce Furniture fan line. We'd appreciate it. 1-888-455-3776. You want to blame Niles Paul, Rex Burkhead, Brandon Kinney? 4th and 18. You want to blame me for liking Cody Green? They put Zach Lee in. Folks, I'm here to tell you right now, I cheer for whatever quarterback's in the game. I really do. I just had the opportunity to watch Zach Lee a year ago, which made it very, very tough for me to cheer for him at the end of it. Maybe he's improved by leaps and bounds, and I think maybe he showed that a little bit on Saturday. Lord knows he couldn't get much worse than a year ago. He put the ball on the money several times. You want to have people step up and make plays. Why do I have a feeling that the biggest games in Niles Paul's career this year will come against Kansas? The worst team you face.
Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. And by the way, Nebraska's game with Oklahoma State this week, 2:30, and it's also been announced that the Nebraska-Missouri game will be on ABC at 2:30. If Nebraska wins, it's a battle of unbeatens with game day at Stillwater Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Now game day is going to Columbia, Missouri.
First time ever.
Are you kicking me right where I don't want to be? I mean, seriously? Is it that weak this week?
Apparently it is.
And, folks, if you want that rematch.
Well, it's 1-10 or whatever. It's not that weak.
If you want that rematch with Texas, this is even worse. You got to root for Missouri Saturday. That's even worse.
We don't want a rematch with Texas.
I think we want Missouri to beat Oklahoma.
No way.
I'm not saying they will. I just think that's what Nebraska fan wants.
You were surprised a little bit after the game when you heard the emotion in people that were coming up to you. Were you not?
I was surprised from the...
When I said it was the Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker
two things.
Deal, I think you thought I was totally crazy.
Some fans were almost to the point of crying, and I'm sure some were, which is weird. But you know, there's two ways to look at this. Get alive, or this affects everything we do. And that's okay. That's okay. Unfortunately, in the media biz, you have to pull your way enough to not just be a 100% true fan. But yet, Saturday, in the press box, I kind of felt more emotional than any other game I'd ever watched while covering the game on Saturday. And just, you know, where you actually grab your hair when they drop those balls, when you just gasp out loud when something bad happens. John, and then you also had some folks, it seemed like, were happy that this was happening because in the media, because it gave them more storylines and more to write about and more to talk about, which I found disturbing.
Satanic.
Well, and I don't mean from a national perspective. I mean from in this state of Nebraska. John says, I cannot wait until Niles Paul graduate. Whines about not getting the ball. Hang on to the damn ball, Niles. You got to catch it to hang on it. All I can say, Doug and Daddy, is that Niles Paul was pathetic. This comes from Joe and Carney. After that rant, Niles Paul has about the South Dakota State game, about not being involved in the offense and being a playmaker. Niles Paul better shut his mouth. All those drop balls, including one in the end zone, proves Niles Paul is not an elite player, not a playmaker, not even Nebraska's best receiver. That is all I wanted to say. Go Big Red, Joe from Kearney.
Who is Nebraska's best receiver?
I rode down the elevator after the game with the scout from the Colts, and there were a lot of scouts there. And we struck up a short conversation saying, and he basically said, well, Niles Paul just cost himself a whole lot. He goes, we won't consider him. He goes, our quarterback, Peyton Manning, would never throw to this kid. You can only throw to guys you trust. Doesn't matter how good you are, how high profile you are. If Randy Moss is dropping the ball all the time, you're going to quit throwing it to Randy Moss. And that's what they're saying about Niles Paul. He's dropping the ball. His stock is going. It doesn't matter what you can do. You got to have the ball to do it.
You're absolutely right. And then you go down the list. You say what you want. And Brandon Kinney been that guy that emerged 2-3 games ago, and you thought he was a go-to guy.
Still a lot more. Let's go to. I want to save the email here from H Man from Riverdale. We'll get to that in a little bit. We've got more on the Dent Popper inbox to get to you as well. Let's see. Shane says to me, the crowd was out of it when it was 10-0. What do you guys think? They're in shock, I guess, Shane.
There wasn't
much to cheer about.
No, we got to have something that gets your butt out of the seats. That's got to go back to the team a little bit. Yeah, you want the crowd to go berserk, but you got to do something to get people excited. Somebody's got to make a play. Somebody's got to step up and do something that stands out. And then the crowd will go nuts. You know, I didn't think they could run on us. They ran on us.
Oh, they didn't run.
It's 4.5 yards of carry, Doug, when you break it down.
Well... Yeah, but they had two big runs, and that was, you know, whatever. This comes from Andy in Kearney. He says, we are just snake-bitten against Texas. Watson needs to learn how to make a frickin' adjustment. He is terrible when going against a good defensive coordinator. Kenny and Paul, catch the damn football. Nothing else needs to be said. I think Nebraska is still a better team. Nebraska might not lose another Big 12 game. Love the show, guys. That comes from Andy in Kearney. Andy, thanks. And now panic sets in. A little bit. Nebraska plays two consecutive unbeaten teams in Missouri and Oklahoma State. Is it plausible that this all of a sudden national championship could go to 5-3 just like that?
You're exactly right, Doug, and all of a sudden the lock to go to Dallas the first week in December is, are we going to go to
this is something that was talked about at the beginning of the season. You know, this is the best case scenario. What's the worst case scenario? And people laughed when I said 7-5. I don't want 7-5. I don't think they're going to be 7-5. But you already have people going, wow, and Nebraska's a 5.5-point favorite early line at Oklahoma State on Saturday. Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. He was at the game. He heard the post-game comments from everyone. He saw Taylor Martinez talking to Bo Pelini in somewhat private afterwards. Mitch, is it panic time, or do you just take it for what it's worth, catch the ball, and everything would have been good today?
Well, I don't think they win the game just by catching those balls. There were a lot more issues than that. I mean, I think some people are panicking and oversimplifying things to the point where they're saying, and this is fans that I've heard from in the last 36 hours that have said things like, okay, Nebraska catches those three balls, and hey, that's three more touchdowns. They lost the game by 7, and they win if that happens. You know, I mean, Texas can spin that just as easily and say, look, Nebraska scored on a pooch punt that never would have been called if it had been one touchdown, one score game. Texas also sat on the ball at the 2-yard line at the end of the game when it could have easily scored a touchdown, I think. And two of those drop touchdowns turned into field goals. So instead of costing Nebraska 7 points, they really cost Nebraska 4 points apiece. The one that just continues to play out in my mind is Kenny's drop. Maybe because it was the third one, maybe because it was just total desperation time at that point, and it was a 4th-and-18 play where you just never expect Nebraska to convert in that situation, any team to convert 4th-and-18 at the 38-yard line, and then there he is, flashing wide open at the goal line, you know, a sure touchdown, and what a perfect pass by Zach Lee. And, I mean, that was the one where you just thought, "This, am I really watching this happen?" So I think that's usually in these Texas games, it seems there's always one play over the years that continues to stand out when you look back at it. I mean, we remember the Terrence Nunn fumble. Of course, we remember the field goal last year. There are other plays, too, the fumble by Kurrell Buchalter in 1999, and that's over a decade ago, and people still remember it. The one to me that from this 2010 game is going to stand out is Brandon Kenny flashing wide open inside the 5-yard line when it looked like Nebraska was dead in the water. And I think if he catches that ball and there's 7 minutes left in the game and Nebraska scores there to make it a one touchdown game, that those last 7 minutes have a completely different complexion, and that maybe the Blackshirts get that stop when they kick deep and have the ball back with 5 minutes or so left in the game to go down to try to tie it.
Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mitch, I'm going to go back to the quarterback situation and say I think it's great. I've been critical of when they put people in all the time. When we're blowing the doors off of Kansas State, and I know there was a revenge factor. Bo Pelini had to get back at the old man at K-State because he's still pissed from 03. You know what? There's got to be a maturity level, too. Sure as hell would have been a lot easier from my standpoint to get Zach Lee 2 or 3 series if it was going to be than to throw him into the middle of the mix versus Texas.
I suppose yes, but I don't think that Zach did anything in the game on set. A credit to Zach. He came in and having not played the Western Kentucky game, backed up at the 5-yard line. Yeah, he got a little help from Texas with a couple of penalties on that long drive that should have ended in a touchdown pass to Niles Paul, a 95-yard drive. He got some help from Texas with some penalties, but I think he looked fine. He looked great considering he hadn't played since the first game of the year, and I don't know how it would have changed his method of operation. He looked pretty sharp on most of his passes. If he had played 2 or 3 series in the fourth quarter against K-State, I don't know how he could have done a whole lot better, even running the ball. I mean, it wasn't Taylor Martinez out there. Clearly, he's about half as fast or less as Taylor Martinez, but that's just physically where he's at. He's a better passer. And he's the guy that you needed in the game, I think, at that point, because Nebraska was not going to win that game by running the zone read down Texas's throat through the fourth quarter. So I don't have a problem with the way Nebraska ran it against K-State. I do think that there is something of a maturity factor there, and that there are a lot of underlying issues in Bo Pelini's mind that come into play in these games. I think that was a factor in Saturday's game, that the pass was something that he thinks of. I think the past is something that he thinks of when they played K-State too, and he just won't admit that. He hates to admit that, but he's a guy that remembers things. And as much as he wants to say it's this game, it's this week, it has nothing to do with the past, and as much as he wants it to be like that for his players, I don't think it is that way with Bo. And maybe that's a part of the reason that we saw Martinez in the game in the fourth quarter against K-State. But again, I don't think that's a factor in the Texas game for how Zach Lee played.
No, I'm not being critical of Zach Lee at all. I want them people to know that. I just think sure would have been more comfortable, I think, for the kid to come in when the game's in hand versus Kansas State than it was. All right, Zach, best of luck. Here you go.
Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show talking about Nebraska's first loss of the year. Outside of, the two or three things that we've already talked about, as we get ready to take on a couple of teams that can throw the ball all over the yard, and Texas didn't do that, are we going to be matching up much better against Oklahoma State and Missouri?
Well, from a Nebraska defensive standpoint, I don't think Nebraska matched up all that poorly against Texas. The thing that happened that Nebraska didn't expect was Garrett Gilbert running the ball, and that's a good job by Texas. I mean, he had not shown any ability to run the ball, but clearly the guy is an athlete, and if you're going to try to tackle him with your head, he's going to run through you. So you look at these next two opponents, and I think Nebraska matches up nicely. I mean, statistically, Nebraska has the best pass defense in the country. So they have the best secondary in the country. Well, that's what you want on your defense when you're going against Oklahoma State's top-rated in the Big 12 passing attack, and Missouri's good passing attack with Blaine Gabbert. I don't think these offenses, as potent as they've been through the first six games of the year from Missouri and Oklahoma State, are anything that Nebraska fans need to look at and say, man, I'm scared of what this offense is going to do to Nebraska. Maybe Oklahoma State to a certain extent, because you have to worry about that letdown factor after the Texas game, and you factor in that the Cowboys have got probably the best running back in the Big 12 in addition to that passing attack. This is a very good offense for Oklahoma State, but I would not be all that concerned about the Nebraska defense's ability to slow Oklahoma State. Well, what I'm concerned about is how is that offense going to respond? How is Taylor Martinez going to respond? How do they move forward with that quarterback situation when and if Martinez struggles to operate again next week? I mean, do you bring Zach Lee in every week to rescue Taylor Martinez? And if so, what's that going to do to Martinez's confidence at some point down the road?
Mitch, here's a question I've been getting yesterday, just running into random Husker fans. The pass to Brandon, or to Kenny, to Kyler Reed that would have moved the chains, why was it not reviewed? Do you have an answer for that?
All I know is that Nebraska rushed its punt team on the field. And from my vantage point in the press box, until I saw that replay yesterday when I was watching the game over, I had heard from several fans who had told me that, and Pete fans and people who watched the game, that was a bad call and that he clearly got a foot down. And I was skeptical because from my vantage point in the press box, it looked to me like he was out of bounds and there wasn't any doubt about it. And I think that's the viewpoint that the Nebraska coaches got in the press box too. But when you saw it on replay, clearly he had a foot down in bounds. And I don't know that it's the responsibility of those coaches upstairs to somehow see that replay and get word down to the sideline to challenge that play. Nebraska should have called a timeout to let the officials see that play and challenge it, or thrown that flag themselves and challenged that play. Instead, they hurried the punt team on the field, and Texas probably just stood there. And that happened right in front of the Texas sideline. And I think the Texas coaches probably had a better idea than the Nebraska coaches. I know they did. That was a legal catch. So they probably thought, hey, okay, great, go ahead and punt the ball back to us. You know, we're gonna be happy if you want to, even if our return team isn't set, we're gonna be happy to let you rush your punt team on the field. That's a communication error and a coaching error by Nebraska to not get that play challenged.
Couple more quick questions here for Mitch Sherman before we get him out of here. We just got this email from John and Carney, and Mitch, since you did specific stories on this last week, he asked, do you think this will hurt our recruiting with the kids that were at the game?
I don't think it'll help. I don't know. I don't know what it can do that's good other than just, it still gives those recruits an opportunity to see Nebraska in a game day situation, and it was a good environment. It was a pretty electric environment before the game, and at rare times in the game when Nebraska got some momentum, I it would have been a lot better if Nebraska had won that game from a recruiting standpoint. Nebraska took a gamble, put a lot of eggs in one basket, not just in recruiting, but in a lot of things that it did in the way it marketed that game. It was something of an uncharacteristic strategy by Nebraska football and Nebraska athletics to bank so much on that game. And I think the players felt that. Despite what Bo says and what the players say, you cannot help but feel that kind of pressure. And it showed in the way they played, especially right out of the gate. I have no doubt in my mind, just knowing what I know about how athletes respond to pressure and seeing things in athletics, that Nebraska was some of those guys were trying too hard at different points in that game. And that gets a little bit away from your question about recruiting, but it just goes back to the point that Nebraska took some gambles and they put a lot into that game, and that goes with recruiting too. Is it going to cost Nebraska players in the long run? Probably not, because I don't necessarily think that there were too many of these big name prospects who were going to commit to Nebraska if Nebraska had won that game. That's really not the way kids look at things. They're going to go back. They're going to take other visits still relatively early in the process. And if they were going to get, say, Aaron Green out of San Antonio, if they had won that game by 3 touchdowns, I think they'll still get him in the long run, losing that game by 1 touchdown.
It's like going to Vegas and watching the roulette wheel. Man, it was black 8 times in a row. Let's put it all in on red. It just doesn't happen. Chris and Carney wants to know how short the leash is now on Taylor Martinez if things go bad again this week.
I think it just depends how it's happening. The reason that he came out of the game when he did was because it was clear, I think, to everyone that he wasn't going to bring Nebraska back from a deficit. If Nebraska's playing a close game, and I don't see the game unfolding this way, but if it's 7-7 in the third quarter and Martinez isn't necessarily getting things done against Oklahoma State, I don't think there's as much of an urgency to bring him out. You know, he wasn't turning the ball over, although he did fumble and get lucky to have it recovered. But he wasn't committing turnovers like he was in the South Dakota State game. I don't think he was losing the game for Nebraska. It just seemed that he wasn't going to bring Nebraska back from a 2-touchdown deficit. It wasn't as likely that he would do that as Lee would do that. So I don't know. I don't think the leash is going to be necessarily a whole lot shorter. Maybe Nebraska has a little bit more confidence in Zach Lee now. But to me, the Zach Lee run Nebraska offense is not a whole lot different than the Zach Lee run Nebraska offense was a year ago when Zach was healthy. And if you can think back to early in the year when Zach was healthy, it wasn't great. It wasn't terrible. It was a decent offense, and it was complemented by a great defense, and it's why they won some games. So I really don't think that how Nebraska handles its quarterbacks is going to change as a result of what happened in the Texas game.
Mitch, what did you make out of Taylor's demeanor once he got pulled from the game? Anything at all?
Not a lot, no. I know we had Dirk Chapman wrote a column about that in the paper, and you know, I respect Dirk's opinion. I think he had a good take on it. And it should be noted that he went down to the sideline in the third quarter and watched close up to see what Taylor did. And you know, that's why his picture's on that thing, and it says column. That's his opinion about how Taylor reacted. And, you know, he makes some good points about quarterbacks, whether they're redshirt freshmen or seniors. They need to be leaders, and Nebraska needs leaders right now. I don't see a lot of guys out there on the field playing with a lot of leadership. You know, you expect some of these seniors like Brandon Kinney and Niles Paul to do things, to be leaders, and dropping passes isn't the way that you go about doing that. So somebody's got to be that guy, and you hope it can be your quarterback. And with the way that Taylor acted on this, not in a bad way, he didn't really do anything. He didn't act in a bad way. He didn't act in a good way. He was just kind of emotionless, and that's probably not the best way to be a leader. But the thing that we need to remember is that's how he acts when they beat Washington 56-21. He doesn't jump up and down. He doesn't do things that are real demonstrative in a positive way, so I don't know why we would necessarily expect him to do – he doesn't do things in a positive way when he's winning, so I don't know why we would turn around and expect him to do things in a positive way in a way of encouragement when he's in the situation that he is on Saturday. That's just my take on it, but I respect what Dirk had to say about it too, and I agree with a lot of the points that he made.
Well, we could sit here for hours, and that's what Husker fans love. Mitch, we'll let you get back to your day, and I always appreciate you giving us time on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, okay, guys. It should be an interesting next couple days this week. We'll see how Nebraska chooses to respond from this one.
Sounds good, but thanks, Mitch.
Okay, take care.
Mitch Sherman joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. A, it's hard to have it all at 18 years old, and you've got to put up with this if you're going to play a freshman quarterback. Quick, name me the last freshman quarterback to win a national championship, redshirt or not. Okay, get back to me on that because I'm not sure it's ever happened, and I could be overlooking. I've been trying to research it here, haven't found anyone to go with. Second, Mitch made a comment about give credit to Texas for getting Garrett Gilbert some running and getting some. This is where even I might have an issue, because Nebraska fans, every time we lose, there's always something to blame. And it's Sean Watson, or it's Barney Cotton, or it's fill in the blank.
Ted Gilmore, where receivers go?
Fill in the blank here. Garrett Gilbert doesn't run the ball. He does against us. Okay, so why, and this is a question, why doesn't Nebraska ever do anything special against a team that we haven't been able to do before? I mean, do you get where I'm going here? Why wasn't Taylor Martinez, and again, maybe if we catch the damn ball, Taylor throws for 300 yards and it's something you don't expect to do. And Martinez missed he missed Paul wide open a couple of times in that football game. He let him by a hair too much when Paul caught it and fell down and there was nobody 10 yards around from him on a slant to the sideline there, or an out route, if you will. That seems to be why Nebraska doesn't ever win these so-called big games, because they never step up big somewhere that they haven't in the past. I mean, does that make sense? That seems to be what really is killing Nebraska fan. Well, how come they could make adjustments? How come we can't make adjustments? How come we never do anything different?
That's the frustration part. I think you just nailed it, Doug. And I think there's... You know, one of the coaches that I have a lot of respect for in the area, and he coaches basketball during the winter, and he coaches baseball in Kearney, is Steve Spomberg. When Coach Spomberg is a very intense man, like I would consider him when he's on the field of battle, pretty above Pelini, very, very serious. Everything is, when he yells one word a lot more than any other word, and it's compete. When he's out there, he'll say compete. That's all he wants out of his kid. He doesn't think that everybody's going to be a Darren Erstad or a Drew Anderson out on the baseball field. But when you're put in a position to make a play, damn it, make the play. It's not rocket science. We're not asking you to fall out of bounds and clip a heel inbounds and make a one-handed catch. But when the opportunity presents itself, do what you're supposed to do and do what you've been taught to do.
We're going to continue to talk Huskers. Merkin Moore is going to join us to break down the games from the weekend. Daryl Morris, UNK, Paul Merkowitz, Hastings College. We've got a ton of emails. We're going to try. We always try to get to every single one of them, unless they're just, you know, not going to happen. But we can talk Husker football all day, and if we can't do it here on the ESPN radio, you can do it over lunch at the Chicken Coop. You can watch Monday Night Football tonight at the Chicken Coop in Kearney, where they have their bull fry and french fry special for only $5.99 from 5 to 10. Plus, it's boneless chicken wing night in Kearney. Only 40 cents. Choose from any of their 13 wing flavors every Monday night between 5 and 10. All of their HD TVs, whatever you're watching, Major League Baseball playoffs are on tonight. Big game, Yankees-Rangers game 3. Also, Monday Night Football's on. Replays of all the college football games that are going on. Talk about what the NBA exhibition. It depends. Whatever your sport is, they'll get it on for you at the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney and Grand Island, with great lunch specials every day and great food and drink specials every night. Play a little Keno and rehash all that is in the world of sports here at the Chicken Coop. We will have some phone folks that we might get to here in a second, and we've got a lot more coming up with Merck and Morris here on the Doug and Daddy Show, so let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Is there anything that warms the heart of somebody you love in your life, hopefully a female, a mom, girlfriend, wife, daughter? Nothing's better than surprise flowers. Today only, that's right, today only, get one dozen assorted roses for only $19.99 plus a free glass vase. Roses always make the ladies in your life feel special. At this price, no brainer. If you've never tried Pro Flowers, give them a shot. Won't be sorry. $19.99 for a dozen assorted roses and a free glass vase. This great deal on classic roses is good for today only. That's right, today. Here's what I want you to do. Call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS and mention my name, Colin. Or better yet, go to proflowers.com. Click on the mic, upper right side. Enter the password, Colin. That's proflowers.com. Click on the mic, type in Colin. Nothing more special than surprising the ladies in your life with one dozen assorted roses.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Monday night, it's a battle for first place in the AFC South as Maurice Jones-Drew and the Jaguars take on Chris Johnson and the Titans. Tennessee took it to the Cowboys last Sunday, and Jacksonville has won two consecutive games to climb into a four-way tie atop the standings. Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of Westwood One. Join Randy Cross and me live from the Subway broadcast booth in Jacksonville for all the action. If it's Monday Night Football, it's right here
on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug and Daddy shows Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Maybe we just need to get Taylor a little more arm strength.
Well, I think you could add 20 pounds to that frame and probably firm up some muscles, get rid of maybe a half a percent of body fat, but maybe you've got a little bit more body fat. You could head to Complete Nutrition. Hey, you're looking for a protein powder, they're 30% off. Continue to be 30% off this fall kickoff special. Complete Nutrition is where it's at. Hey, the protein powders are designed to get the results. There is one for you. They promise. V-Core, perfect for women, too. They haven't forgotten you. It maintains and hardens muscles. Highest protein amino acid ratio for absorption, energy, and recovery. But maybe that's not the right one for you. Maybe it's a Titan. Maybe it's a Goliath. That's why you need to see one of the trained professionals at Complete Nutrition. Their mission is to help every one of their customers look better, feel better, and perform better every day. Complete Nutrition, just north of Sun Martin Kearney, or call them 308-338-1FIT. That's 308-338-1FIT. Or online at CompleteNutrition.com.
Oh, man. Just some things I continue to look at. I've got, let's just run through the emails. Jeff says, don't you feel we need more of a push into the backfield?
See, I don't know if they, obviously against a mobile quarterback, they didn't want to push, just going back to a year ago with Tyrod Taylor, they didn't want to push the backfield. They wanted to contain him in the pocket and then get people free to run after him. Obviously, with you would have thought with an immobile quarterback, we thought in Garrett Gilbert, yes, you would have tried to get as much of a push as you could, break that thing down, and get him on the move. Thought that would have played into our hands.
Harold says, if we have to read one more article about the receivers being great blockers, I will puke. Do they even practice throwing the ball? Sean Watson says he did not see this in practice. They haven't had that problem. Mike and Hastings, guys, I have fifth graders in midget football that can tackle better than Ricky Thenars. You know what? I don't get those emails when we're winning. I'm guessing they're tackling about the same. Here's a funny one. Adam and Holdridge. Fellas, there's a few things I read this weekend that I thought were funny. One, Niles Paul was booed out of Arby's after dropping his roast beef sandwich postgame. But two, new wristbands are in the works. They say 60 minutes on one side and start on the other. It's a good one, Adam. Don't forget, if the Steelers win the Super Bowl, I will blank. Baltimore went down this weekend, so that gives them a better chance. Just keep sending those in. Let's see, what else? Greg and Roseland, big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games. Nebraska has no big-time receivers. We obviously couldn't run wide. Do we have a fullback? Oh, yeah, we do. Greg is out of the gate. Couldn't we line up in the eye and power it down their throat when the score was still 10-0?
Apparently, no, I don't know that they ever expected to power anything at Texas. Texas defense, one of the best in the nation. Remember.
But they had to have a game plan. And was it working? Was it not working? I guess that's up to the coaching staff to decide. Well, we can't scrap it quite yet.
With Taylor Martinez, do we
bring Zach in?
It looks to me like we got about six plays. Is that just me? Maybe it's just me. I mean, you think for as difficult as this offense is to learn, there should be a hell of a lot more plays in the playbook than the six that Taylor Martinez runs.
Well, I'm no pro on the read option. But again, when it doesn't work, it looks like you're just guessing. And when it does work, it looks like you could give it to anybody. And they're going to go through the same hole. Dan in Roseland says, Zach Lee,
4 for 19 for 14 yards. Good call. If we needed a proficient passer in the game, he wasn't utilized at all. Poor play calling in the fourth. The seconds kept ticking off the clock and didn't do anything with Lee. We played like we were up by 14, not down. Watt's play calling sucked. It wasn't Martinez's fault no one would catch the ball. Adidas needs to invest some stickier gloves. Why this of all games? Dan says, why? Why this game? Dan and Roseland.
It was 4 of 9, not 19.
4 of 9 for 14 yards. Right. Yeah. Okay, Fast Willie chimes in, and we still got to get to H-Man. One, does Watson still have confidence in Martinez throwing the ball? Something he has said 300 times this year. If he puts Lee in the game, to throw the ball! Even if we don't throw the ball when Lee comes in. Two, is Lee now the number two quarterback? Sean Watson was asked that. He says, no, it depends on the situation. Three, I have been requesting that Niles Paul be dismissed from the team for 3 weeks now. Can someone tell me how everyone thinks he is so talented? On the broadcast, Matt Millen said that Paul will definitely play at the next level. Now we know why Mr. Millen was so successful as a GM for the Lions. If Watson has a play that gets a receiver behind the defense for a touchdown on 4th and 18th, can we dial that play up on 2nd and 4? I know we still won't catch the ball, but I would still be interested in seeing it. And finally, everyone rips on defensive players for trying to make arm tackles. I would like to see Ricky Thanars try to make an arm tackle once just so I knew he actually has full use of his arms. That from Fast Willie.
Appreciate the emails. Keep sending them. DougAndDaddy at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Let's go to the phone lines at 888-455-ESPN.
Bill from Deschler.
Bill, what's going on?
Bill, hey, Bill, I was Bill, tell that me. Game and,
hold on, Bill. Hold on. Hold on. Hold, just, hold on, Bill. Hold on, Bill. Hold on, Bill. Are you a Dallas Cowboy fan?
I was. Yes, I am.
See, okay. I just Bill is probably in worse shape than most of us because his Dragons took a thumping Friday, his Huskers took a thumping Saturday, and his Cowboys took a thumping yesterday. Okay, Bill. You have the floor because I know you are in the fetal position sucking your thumb. So what's going on?
Well, I just wanted to let you guys know I and you two are really used to this because every Sunday we have to go through this. So it's a little less painful for us guys, right? Us Cowboy fans.
Well, the wrong damn team from Texas won again this weekend.
No, but the only thing I didn't really care for is our special teams. This whole year has been terrible, I think. You know, that stupid little pooch punt. Golly, they're drilling us way deep, and we had good field position.
Well, yeah, the rugby punt that they did twice where he punted it over 55 yards two times yesterday, which does make you wonder why you don't have two guys back there.
Yes.
And they finally did do that, but I don't know, Bill. There's so...
Yeah, when they were punting into the wind, then they did it. It's like, good golly. All right, thanks, guys.
Hey, Bill, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 888-455-ESPN, Daddy.
Doug, how about DeJean Gomes saving the ball 3 yards in the end zone on his tiptoes like he was standing on the 2-inch line? What was that? I just want some focus out there. DeJean Gomes, normally I give him a lot of pats on the back, but what are you doing? It's a white stripe, 4.5 inches wide. That's the goal line.
Well, Nebraska comes out with so much fire, they go 3 and out on the opening drive. Then a good return by Texas. We fail to convert. I'm just looking at some of my notes here. We had 0 first downs on our first 3 possessions. You're emotionally ready to go? I mean... We finally get to start moving the ball at the end of the first quarter, then the drop pass, then the field goal. Gilbert seems to have all day to throw it, yet he was able to run it. You shouldn't be able to get to do both. They're up 17-3 midway through the second quarter, and then Nebraska, as sad as this is, outplays them the rest of the way, in my opinion. How many times did I write Niles Paul catch the ball? The punt bounces at the one, and DeJean Gomes stands in the end zone to try and down it. Yeah. There were a couple of penalties that make you scratch your head, and then, you know, there might have been a couple both ways that make you scratch your head. The squib kicks on kickoffs that Nebraska had trouble handling. I'm not talking about the rugby punts, the kickoffs, the squib kickoffs. And then they bring Zach in, and I don't know if that was the difference in the ball game or not, but he seemed to do okay. And then, you know, we hustle up there third and one to try a quarterback sneak, and we fumble the snap. I mean, those are things that you don't – those are spring ball things. That's stuff you practice in spring that you do here. And then it just – then just to rub it in your face a little more, then we do have the great punt return to just give you a slim amount of hope. The onside kick that Nebraska can't recover, and two plays later, they – it wasn't a design counter because obviously Whitaker – started to his right, and Nebraska had that hole backed up into him, and then he just stepped to his left, and there's nobody there, and he runs for the first down, and the football game is over. And to anybody that's questioning the onside kick, really? Okay. I've always been the proponent of give yourself two chances instead of one. You have to stop them. Three and out, whether you kick it deep or you kick an onside kick. Yes, it does come down to field position, but you could have the ball at your own 20 with 2 minutes to go, or you could have the ball at your own 30 or 40 after they punt it with 2 minutes to go.
The same person questioning the onside kick wants them to kick it deep. The same person ripping on the special. They probably would return it to the 50.
Yeah, so there you go. Let's go to the phone line, 888-455-ESPN.
TB.
TB is on the line. TB, our Zach Lee supporter. Let's see what he's got to say today. Good morning, TB.
How's things going this morning, boys?
It's not good in Husker land. I mean, we lost. We lost.
Hey. You know what? I got up yesterday, and the sun came up the same way it did every other day.
It was a beautiful, beautiful morning.
It was. Hey, I just wanted to call and give Daddy a little love because I know he's had a tough weekend. The Huskers lost, and the scenario kind of came through like I told him might happen one of these days when they came up against some good athletes.
He's 4 of 9 for 14 yards.
And his Cowboys lost. So I know Stone's hurting today, and I just want to finish this argument that we have to have a dual-threat quarterback at Nebraska when we're going to go up against the good teams.
We're
not
going to
be able to line it up against Oklahoma and run it. So you better find somebody that can run it and throw it and keep them honest. When Zach Lee come in, now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Zach's near the athlete that Taylor is, but they had to be a little more honest. And he was getting 3-4 yards, and he can't throw it and catch it for those guys.
that is so true. It was just mind-boggling. Hey, TB, we'll have to get some fish together and make us all feel better.
All right.
Thanks for the call. We need to take a break. When we come back, Mondays with Merck and Morris, we've got a lot more Husker talk. I can already tell we're going past 12 noon, so keep it coming. We're back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show. And don't forget, Misco Sports is the place to be. They still got a lot of Husker gear. You still got to love your Huskers. Don't be down. Let's face it. I said on this show, realistically, did we think we had a team that could win the national championship? Yeah, you want to believe that. You know, just take a step back, and there are a lot of tough teams, tough games left on this schedule. Oh, wait a minute. Is Texas A&M any good, Tony? Sorry. I mean, if we were going to go into the break with us both feeling
bad. Is Colorado any good, Doug?
No. 31-25 is better than the thumping that Missouri put on A&M. Different teams, but supposedly different levels. Tech, how'd they do? We got to see how you did as well. We got to see how our Pigskin Pick'em did. I think our caller lost. We'll find out in a moment. But Misco's, they've got the gear you want. Whether it's Kearney High, Kearney Catholic, the Huskers, it's all right there. Lopers, your favorite Major League Baseball teams, the NFL hoodies, they're all there. The NFL hoodies, 25% off. Over 40 styles of Husker shirts, T-shirts, and sweatshirts. They fit men, women, and children. Get an Ndamukong Suh jersey and take you back to the good old days when we won all the games. Oh, yeah, when we were 10-4. You can get your game on at Misco's. If it's time to start thinking winter sports already, they've got the basketball gear you need, the wrestling gear you need, whatever you're doing, check out their selection. Nike, Adidas, Mizuno, and a whole lot more because it's brand-name clothing, shoes, and athletic apparel. Open 7 days a week at Misco's Sports on the Bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. Back after this.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd, host of The Herd. Everybody knows going to the post office is a hassle. Fighting traffic, finding parking, waiting in line, brutal, waste of time. I've got a solution, Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can print real U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. No hardware to buy, nothing to rent. You can print postage for all your letters and packages right from your desk. It's like having a post office in your home or office. I've been recommending Stamps.com to everybody I know. Right now, Stamps.com has a special offer, no risk trial, plus a $100 bonus offer, including $45 in free postage. That's more free postage if you use my name, Colin. Try Stamps.com today for a no-risk trial, $100 bonus offer. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone top of the homepage. Type in my name, Colin, Stamps.com, and be sure to use my name, Colin.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for three touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified bill paying. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by your local Farm Bureau agents, Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney today at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mix of clouds and sun develops today with an isolated chance of a shower developing. Otherwise, look for highs around 64 with a north wind of 5 to 10. Guys, stay partly cloudy into tonight with a low of 36. I'm weather, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 54. In the night, I hear him talk, the coldest
story ever told, somewhere far along this road. Mondays with Merck and Morris on the Doug and Daddy Show are brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank. Your lifestyle, your bank, and your solution is Five Points Bank, taking care of their customers one at a time. Five Points Bank, the better bank. Today we're going to start off with Hastings College head football coach Paul Merkowitz. You pick up the paper, you listen to the radio broadcast, you go to the game, and you see that the other team sets a school record for rushing or passing or receiving or whatever it is. That probably means bad news for your football team, and that's what happened here. The young man from Dakota Wesleyan, Josh Enders, 316 yards in this football game and three touchdowns. And that's the difference. It's 34-21, and Hastings coach Paul Merkowitz joins us. Coach, what was the story with this kid? I guess we didn't bring him up last week. You talked about some of the good things that Dakota Wesleyan has. Was this kind of were you suspecting that a kid could rush for over 100 yards or 150 against you, and he just got crazy, or was it kind of out of the blue?
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, we knew they wanted to run the football. We haven't had that problem, you know, where we gave up big plays. We gave up. There's two long runs in there, 50 plus in the fourth quarter by him. You know, we had cut the game to six on two occasions, and just, you know, we just couldn't corral him. And it was, like I said, it was one of the things that we haven't had much problem with this year, and just for whatever reason, just had a tough time dealing with it on Saturday.
Coach, you know, this kind of follows that up. The whole team overall, did you underestimate Dakota Wesleyan? You knew they were improved going in, did you not?
No, absolutely not. We did not underestimate. We knew they are a very good football team, and we knew that, you know, the thing that was tough was that the plays, the stuff they were running didn't surprise us. We just you know, defensively got out of our fits in a couple of instances, and we gave up big runs, and it was just really tough. I mean, it's 10-7 at half. You know, and I think both teams scored two touchdowns in the fourth quarter to get it up to the score that it was at. But I mean, it was a close game throughout. We just, you know, again, gave up way too many big plays in the run game in the fourth quarter.
and maybe out of necessity a little bit, but actually it was one of your better offensive games of the season, especially through the air. Troy throws the ball as good as he has in quite some time, and so the offense played a good football game here.
You know, I think we did some nice things. You know, we made some mistakes early, but I thought, you know, we wanted to establish the line of scrimmage. I thought we ran the ball not great. You know, we're still not getting big plays in the run game. We got a couple of big plays in the pass game, but I thought we were efficient, and did some nice things. But, you know, we just, you know, couldn't make enough plays at the end. Like I said, when we cut it to six, I think we cut it to six with 7 minutes to go, and then we came back and cut it to six again with 2.5 to go. We just thought if we could get the ball back, maybe get something going again, and it just wasn't the case.
Hastings College football coach Paul Merkowitz joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Paul, are you sensing or do you have concern that your team's not getting out of the gate? I mean, you just mentioned that you just didn't get rolling in the first half. That's happened a couple times. Are you not getting out of the gate in the first half like you'd like?
No, you know, again, I think it's just because we're not getting those big plays, and I think that's where it's really hurting us. And, you know, I don't know if, you know, with the way that we play and trying to wear people down, it takes some time over, you know, and you know, so you're going to score more points generally in the second quarter than you probably would in the first. I don't think that it's been a problem. It's just, you know, we got to be a little bit, we got to execute a lot better. I mean, it seems to kind of be the theme here, and listening to what Coach Pelini said yesterday, and we just, you know, we got to be a little bit better that way.
Paul, do you have a receiver that can really stretch the field, or is that something you're missing?
No, you know, I think Justin Anderson's done a nice job with that, even though he's caught a lot of balls underneath. You know, it just seems like, you know, like I said, we did get a big play, 50-yard-plus reception Saturday, but we had a couple of plays there where we're just not making that catch. And, you know, last week we were overthrowing and underthrowing. You know, this week it seemed like we threw the ball in a lot better. We just didn't make those catches. So, you know, just sometimes you run into seasons like this where you just, you know, plays that seemed pretty simple a year ago when you were getting plays, you know, we're just really not. So you're just kind of struggling to put points on the board that way.
Paul Merkowitz joins us. He talked about Justin Anderson, 11 catches, 176 yards. He was definitely a bright spot on Saturday. Coach, this is not where you want to be at 3-4. Now you go into a bye week, and when you come out of the bye week, you take on a Morningside team that, when the new rankings come out, should still be in the top 10. They just got beat by number one Sioux Falls, 28-3. We know that you played Sioux Falls really well in that game. What do you do with some time off? You go into a bye. What's your approach now?
Well, I mean, it's kind of an odd week for us because we're on fall break. So we've given the kids, we gave them yesterday off, today off, and tomorrow. A lot of them are going to get a chance to go home and do some things like that and just kind of come back re-energized. And we had talked about that prior to either way. We had to come back re-energized, and we got a month left and three games and need to get some things done. There's no feeling sorry for ourselves here. We're going to get better. We're going to get ourselves ready for Morningside. We've got 2 weeks to put a game plan together to beat a very good football team at their place, and that's what we're going to try to do. And the week after, we're going to try and beat Dome. The week after, we're going to try and beat Nebraska Wesleyan. But our kids' mindset, I think, is the way it needs to be. I don't think we're not a real confident team, but we probably shouldn't be at this point. But we'll try and build on that. But our kids are fighting, and they're going to continue to do that. But there's no feeling sorry for ourselves in this camp just yet.
Do you get a chance to go see some high school games? Do you spend some time? Is this a heavy recruiting week for you?
Pardon me?
I said, is this a heavy recruiting week for you as far as going out and talking
really
to kids?
Yeah, this really is, from an organizational standpoint and just getting some things wrapped up, because we're out at games all the time, but coaches are all over the place, and this kind of gets us a chance as a staff. You know, like I said, even though we're on fall break, we're here, and this has kind of been targeted as a week for us to get some things organized in recruiting and what we need to get done and where we need to get out with games on Thursday night and Friday night. That helps quite a bit.
Well, Paul, take a couple days off. Just take a deep breath. Get re-energized yourself, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, guys, thank you.
Always appreciate the time, Paul. Paul Merkowitz, head football coach at Hastings College, brought to you on Mondays with Merck and Morris by Five Points Bank, your community bank, proud of its long history of being the local community bank to count on, and growth in deposits and loans in the past 20 years, unparalleled in the Tri-City area. It makes your clear choice, Five Points Bank, Tony.
You know, you're trying to find positives, and one positive they've had is a kicking game at Hastings. Ernesto's done a great job. I see where he punted the ball, 26-yard average. You know, that's something that's, you know, right, you know, just another, you know, it's like when it rains, it pours. Like, everything goes wrong, it seemed like, on Saturday.
continuing on with our Mondays with Merck and Morris, let's switch it over to UNK and talk about some positive vibes, because a big game was on the table this weekend for the Lopers, and they go out to Pueblo and play very well. A nail-biter at halftime, but UNK pulls away in the fourth quarter for a 38-24 victory. Coach Daryl Morris joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, big, big victory. You knew this was going to be a big football game, and it was a close football game to the very end. You've looked at the tape. You've had a chance to rehash it. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, we're very pleased with the way we played. It was, you know, our second week on the road and a tough place to play, and a football team in terms of Colorado State of Pueblo that had lost the week before, knew they were in jeopardy of losing their shot at the RMAC title, and we were going to get everything they had, and we did. And we were very pleased that our kids were able to go on the road, play in a tough venue, big crowd, and come away with a win.
Daryl, were you surprised by the number of points it took to win this football game?
Yeah, a little bit. Maybe I didn't know we'd be able to score that many points on them, and we're pleased that we were able to move the football, especially throw the football, much better this past weekend than we have maybe the weekends before that. But we'll take it any way we can get it.
Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK, joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Yeah, Jake Spitzelberger with his best day as a collegian, 410 yards through the air. It helps when Kyle Kaiser can get down there and get open and make moves and get that yak yards after catch. But what a day it was for both of those two.
And it was, and Kyle, you know, did have a big day. Jake threw one needle, and Kyle was able to convert that into a long touchdown run after a catch. And the other ones, we caught him in zero blitz like we had the year before, and Jake was able to deliver the football and hit Kyle on stride. And one of them was a foot race. They had some kids that could run, and then Kyle had to use all five gears to get that one in the end zone. So it was a great play and good recognition by Jake. That was zero blitz, and Kyle and both of them being on the same page.
Daryl, Rustin has a big day, and obviously did he come out of it with the knee healthy?
Well, to my knowledge, I mean, he's in pretty good shape. He did come out one time. We did change his brace and went from a one-bar brace to a two-bar brace. That seemed to help him a little bit. But he did come out of the game, I think, in pretty good shape. And I look forward to practice again this week.
Looking at the stat sheet, one thing I saw that was interesting was who was punting for you. You want to explain?
maybe they need to look at the scouting report a little bit better in Pueblo. Brendan Johnson did a great job punting for us. He was the punter, and we'll get that squared away with the conference office. But he did a nice job. As a matter of fact, Brendan was our special team player of the week. Did a nice job punting the football, got good hang time on it, good distance. So, he did a nice job.
Of course, if you look and hear it, it said Brendan Lease, and that's why he was
it was kind of a shot.
Yeah, there you go.
No, Brendan didn't punt any.
Coach, defensively, how pleased were you? I know I give up 24 points, but you still got to be pretty happy, obviously, with the victory, obviously.
Well, really, the one play they ran the Wildcat offense, and the kid broke a couple tackles in the backfield. He is a quality football player. We tried to recruit him to UNK, and he's got good speed and was able to get down the sideline and score a long touchdown on us. But for the most part, our defense really did handle the football game. They scored one touchdown in the first half, and we played very well defensively and came up with a couple of fourth down stops. I felt like the defense played extremely well. By the time they scored that third touchdown, I think we had the game in hand pretty well. So, again, we just continue to play good, solid defense.
Daryl Morris with us for just another couple minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Speaking to the defense, another good week for Sam Cook. Ethan Kuhlman actually led you in tackles. Kenny Hill had a good day for you.
You know, and Kenny did. Kenny was our defensive player of the week. They went after Kenny several times. They must have saw something they thought on film. And I think they were trying to stay away from Arthur Hobbs. But they went after Kenny, and Kenny really did step up to the occasion. Defended the pass extremely well. They tried to go deep on him several times, and he was right there stride for stride, playing the ball very well. So, you know, Kenny did an excellent job for us. Ethan Kuhlman was actually fighting a little bit of a stomach bug at halftime. And you have to tip your hat to that kid to come back in the second half and play as well as he did, because he wasn't feeling all that great. So they just played very well.
Daryl, it seemed the last 2 weeks we talked a lot about Eli Hammond. Obviously on film, they took pressure off of Kyle Kaiser, and that gave you the opportunity to get him the ball probably.
Well, it did. I think just having, Brendan Lease back at the H-back position and Eli coming around and making some plays for us and Rustin Dring in the backfield, I think all that together takes pressure off of Kyle Kaiser and eliminates the ability to just focus on one guy as being the one offensive threat that you have. So, excuse me, but I think it, you know, it's all kind of helped us to get back on track offensively.
Coach Daryl Morris, UNK, joins us here. They're probably going to move up in the rankings again. They're doing, they're in the lead in the RMAC. They got Highlands coming in. Coach, was there? I know you scored on the first play of the fourth quarter. Was this just a wear them down process, or why were you so successful late?
Well, I think it was a little bit of that. I think that we did wear them down just a little bit, but I think it was just some good plays. You know, the pass that we threw to Kyle Kaiser on his first long touchdown was just, that was a bang bang play. I mean, it was a needle throw by Jake Spitzelberger. He stuck that thing right behind their corner after their corner had released Kyle, and that guy did a nice job. It took Kyle a while to get off of him and get outside, get into the route, and the safety was coming down over the top of that thing. So I bet Kyle caught that ball probably a fourth of a second before that safety got there and then just stepped inside of that kid as his momentum took him out of bounds, and then Kyle was just a foot race to the end zone. So a great throw, a nice catch with his hands, and then a nice little move at the latter part of the catch to get free. So I think we just made some good plays. I mean, we just made some plays that really turned out for us, and, you know, that's what we try to do.
Coach, you make it through the gauntlet. You come back home to face New Mexico Highlands. Got to be a relief. You don't have to go to New Mexico so anybody can get robbed there. Your thoughts on this football team?
Well, they're a football team that's, and to be honest with you, they're a little bit disarray. Their coach is on a medical leave. They've got Ed Rifalotto that was the head coach at Fort Lewis back there kind of working with them some. So I think they're a program that's in a little bit of disarray. The kids probably have a lot of questions as to who's coaching me and what are we doing and all that kind of stuff. So, I'm not going to, try to trick my football team or anybody else. I mean, we should be the favorite football team, and if we play Loper football, then we should be successful and should be able to win the ball game. But you still got to play. Our biggest challenge, I think, is most coaches feel like when you come off a win that everybody knew was an important win for you, is now you got to get over that one and you got to get on with the next week's business, and that's what we got to do starting tomorrow.
Daryl, congratulations on the great win, and we'll get the crowd out there on Saturday. Best of luck.
Hey, appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach. Coach Daryl Morris, Mondays with Merck and Morris, brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank. FivePointsBank.com. Check them out at solutions, products, and services that complement the way you live. So whatever your lifestyle, you'll find banking with Five Points Bank, the better bank, is just simply better. Big UNK is going to roll Highlands this Saturday, but, go out and support them. Should be a great Saturday to do that.
They took on Shattern this week, I believe, 41-10 or something, 41-13, something of that nature, so.
All of our fine folks join us on the Bruce Furniture fan line. Bruce Furniture, no after-the-sale add-ins. Add-ons are fine print. The price of a piece of furniture or mattress is that price at Bruce Furniture in Kearney, Hastings, and Holdridge. There's no need to move the furniture out when you get Bruce Furniture in because they're going to take it wherever you want. You want to take it over to mom, dad. You want to take it to the kids. You want to take it to the auction. You want to take it to the dump. They're going to do it for you. Just the right trial period for you. If it gets in your home and you go, this did not match up like I thought, no problem. Bruce is going to work with you. That's why they are the best. Go online, brucefurniture.com. They're on Facebook. A lot of deals for you there as well. Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. Back after this with more, including H-Man from Riverdale's email.
I'm in the gym with some guys all 30 and older, asking them about the Charger Pack from Complete Nutrition.
My name's Brian. I'm 34. The Charger Pack helped me lose about 15 pounds. Really, I have more stamina than I did 5 years ago.
For guys 30 and older, the Charger Pack recharges your natural testosterone levels back to when you were young and peaking physically. The Charger Pack increases energy levels, and you'll lose fat around your midsection for a stronger core.
Charger Night, I've been taking that now for 6 months, and I've never slept better. I think just a combination of that Charger product really sets the tone for what I need.
Take it from these guys. If you're a male 30 and older, and you want to naturally lean up and replenish your energy and stamina, get to Complete Nutrition and recharge with a Charger Pack.
Complete Nutrition is located in Kearney at 41st and 2nd Avenue, north of SunMart. 338-1-FIT. That's 338-1348. Or CompleteNutrition.com. Complete
Nutrition. Nothing gets the heart pumping more than pulling in a Master Angler bass or standing 20 yards away from a huge buck, or even a boat full of college girls sitting in your new boat. But it all starts at the Boathouse in Grand Island. From live bait lures and boats to hunting decoys, scents, calls, and blinds, the Boathouse offers you the supplies to be successful this season. And don't forget, ask Tim about winterizing your boat. Stop into the Boathouse today, North Highway 281 in Grand Island, where the fun season never ends.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
It might have started as a little pebble hitting the windshield, and then you see it. A crack spreading right across your vision line. Well, B&B Glass Incorporated will fill your crack.
Wouldn't that be in poor taste?
You got a busted window? B&B will replace it. A chip? B&B will repair it. But that's not all. With B&B's Anytime Emergency Glass Service, anytime circumstances present you with a pain in the glass, call B&B Glass for tint, replacement, or repair.
B&B Glass, located at 922 Central in Kearney.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Daddy, how did you do on your picks this weekend? Is it just continue the theme of suck here on the Doug and Daddy Show today?
Yeah, well, pretty much. I got to go that way. We're 2-2 in the college. The wins were Boise State blast San Jose 48-0. And Wisconsin gets the win over Ohio State. I missed on Texas Tech and Illinois, though. So 2-2 there. And with 6 minutes to go in the pro games, I'm thinking we're going to go 3-0 and we're having a good day. And then all of a sudden, the Jets score again, and the San Francisco 49ers score again late in that ball game to ruin that. So I'm 1-3. Miami Dolphins at Lambeau Field. The dog was 11-2 in those Dolphin games. Make them 12-2.
What did you miss? You were 1-2. Okay.
Yes, 1-2 in those. So.
And our pigskin pick 'em. Once again, we do our best to be mediocre on our selections, but Zach from Kearney, no chance, Merritt?
No, he missed out. Got four wins just with Daddy, and Daddy got four. Doug got five.
Merritt, actually, how many did you get?
I got six.
Yeah, see, there you go. And his Dolphins won, so he's the only happy person here. He hates the Huskers. Yay. He loves the Dolphins. There you go. Scott and Carney says, from what I saw as an armchair quarterback, it seemed to me that our tackling in the first half was terrible. I don't know you could use tackling your shoulder pads and not with your arms. Are they tackling with their shoulder pads, leading that way? It reminded me of the Callahan era. The Big Red will be back. It's only one game. Oh, good Lord. Speaking of the Callahan era, let's do it. H-Man from Riverdale. Greetings, Stepfords. I have been asked repeatedly, why aren't you emailing the Doug and Daddy Show this season? Haven't I already made myself quite clear? In review, I said Pelini was a great defensive coach, and Saturday did nothing to change that. I said Watson and Gilmore were losers, and Saturday did nothing to change that. Watts is a West Coast offense coach who took a 2-day seminar in Oregon on the read option this summer. Clearly, in a battle of coaching wits, Watts was unarmed against Muschamp. Pelini won't fire Watts, so our only hope is getting Watts hired elsewhere. And let's all pray he takes Gilmore and Barney with him. Only then will Nebraska truly be back. So, Stepfords, get out your ugly red costumes and get your drunk on. But remember, we aren't going to win any games that matter with any of the riffraff left over from the Callahan disaster. Get ready to roll. Oh, no. Get ready to feel how you did on Saturday many more times from Husker football guru H-Man from Riverdale, who says, I told you so. Thanks, H-Man. Wayne and Kearney. Hi, guys. In no way did the Huskers play well enough to win, but makes me wonder what would have happened if we had won the toss and went on defense first. With all that energy, going on D first usually works best. Texas doesn't get good field position, etc. Just saying. Crowd was good, but still didn't feel the electricity like I did in 78 and last year against Oklahoma. But no excuses whether we won the toss or not, but may have made a difference. Wayne and Kearney. Point well taken, Wayne. Point well taken.
give up the possession to put the black shirts out there first. Interesting. I don't think, you know.
There's a couple other things that we want to just
rollout. It's been Husker football. Tomorrow, Bo Pelini's press conference. We will have that for you on the show tomorrow. Well, on the Bo Pelini press conference tomorrow at 11:30. We will have other guests to talk Husker football as well as we continue to work on that. Oregon number one in the country for the first time ever. Alabama at the top of the BCS charts. UNK has just the Division II poll has come out here in the last few minutes. They are now number 12 in the country, up one spot after their win. Perfect weekend for volleyball. UNK, Hastings College, and the Huskers all winners. UNK will host the RMAC Volleyball Championships coming up November 11th through the 13th at the UNK Health and Sports Center. The Loper soccer team went 0-1-1 over the weekend, lost Friday, got a tie yesterday. Hastings College continues to do well. Their men continue to be unbeaten. Tri-City Storm fell in overtime, 3-2 at Omaha. They're on the road for two games this week. Twin Valley Conference Volleyball Tournament wraps up tonight with Lawrence Nelson playing Blue Hill for the title. The RPAC Volleyball Tournament gets going tonight as well. A couple other things. Scott Gucheski finished second yesterday in the nationwide. The United Football League is scheduled to announce later today, according to the Omaha World-Herald, that Rosenblatt will host the championship game, whether Omaha is in it or not, their first year in, and they get to host
3-1, by the way.
The championship game, yeah, after the win over the weekend over Hartford.
Douglas, I've been efforting Oklahoma State Cowboys guest, play-by-play voice Dave Hunziker, expected to join us along with from the Daily Oklahoma Brandon Chapman later in the week. So, and we're efforting Coach Gundy as well.
Ken wants to know, do you guys know what Bo was so mad at the officials for in the second half? He looked like he was going to bite the official's head off. Thanks, Ken. Not Irish.
Yeah, I do not know.
It was after a penalty. It was after a no-call. What should have probably been, I believe, a pass interference that was not called. That was one of the instances I remember. So there you go. Danny Woodhead, big day yesterday. Colin Cowherd said something named Danny Woodhead is helping out.
Colin Cowherd also said Tony Romo could win a Super Bowl. Wrong, Colin. You'd think a dork like Cowherd would really appreciate Danny Woodhead and the talent he possesses and root for an underdog like that.
Congratulations to the Adams Central Boys tennis team, state champions over the weekend, winning it Friday afternoon in Lincoln. So congratulations to them. Psychotic week. It's the last week of high school football in the regular season. Bob Jensen joins us on Wednesday. We've got games Thursday and Friday. Don't forget our Husker lunch. Wednesday is in Grand Island. Come out and rehash all it is with Texas and ask all the questions you want of Sean Callahan of HuskersIllustrated.com about the Oklahoma State game. We'll be there in Grand Island on Wednesday. Thanks to Daryl Morris. Thanks to Paul Merkowitz. Thanks to Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World-Herald for joining us on today's show. And as always, thanks for all your emails and calls.
Yeah, keep shooting them in. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll see you tomorrow about 22 and a half hours from now, 1460 in Kearney, 1550 in Hastings.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!